So I'm going to talk about farm to preschool programs in Los Angeles and San Diego counties, the implementation of these programs, as well as implementation of the pilot programs, as well as an evaluation that has been done with the programs. And I have to say that I am not the person who implements these programs in the Los Angeles and San Diego counties. My colleague Zoe Phillips is the person who's the farm to school manager at the Urban and Environmental Policy Institute at Occidental College, but was not able to make it here today, and so I'm subbing for her. I will try and give it a good shot. I have no relationships to disclose, nor does Zoe. The first thing I wanted to address was really why target childcare. And we feel, I mean, a lot of people have talked about the fact that childhood obesity in children as young as age 3 is really on the rise. So that's obviously the one key reason why we want to address it. But I think this particular age is an age where this is an opportunity to prevent rather than reduce obesity, because children are making their, making and learning their eating habits at this time from 0 to 3. And research shows that children's eating habits in this particular age group are really determinant for, whether they become obese at a later age or not. Many preschool age children also eat most of their meals during the childcare hours, and so this is a good opportunity to address their meals and their eating patterns in childcare and in preschools. And children often develop strong relationships with their childcare providers, and childcare providers, like some of the other speakers have said, are and can be strong role models for this age group. And so targeting them at this age and targeting their providers as well is a key thing. It also has, I think, enormous potential to positively influence children's diets and physical activity levels, given the fact that there's a little more flexibility in in these programs, in preschool programs and childcare programs, as compared to K-12 programs, where children have already developed some basic, habits in terms of how they want to eat, but also how the program is structured in terms of the meal program at K-12 or versus in preschools and in childcare providers. So that's why we want to target preschool and childcare providers. This Farm to Preschool program is a pilot program that is run by the Urban and Environmental Policy Institute at Occidental College. It is a 2-year grant-funded program that is in its second year right now, with support from the Kresge Foundation and Kaiser Foundation Hospitals through their community benefits program. The goal of the program is to influence early childhood eating habits and expand the farm-to-school model of programs. And as explained earlier, the farm-to-school model is based on the premise that just providing the food to the child or the healthy food to the child is not going to necessarily make an impact on whether they're going to eat it or not. By engaging children in growing the food, in cooking the food, in really handling the food, tasting the food, is what is going to get them excited about the healthy foods. And that is the premise that we are using here in Farm to Preschool as well, that it's not just about providing healthy foods like fruits and vegetables, it's providing the freshest of foods, so farm fresh foods, and then also getting kids engaged in growing the food and cooking the food, as some of the other speakers have said earlier as well, is really important for us. The program is piloted in Los Angeles and San Diego counties. In California, there are 4 intervention sites: Magnolia Place in Los Angeles, Pathways Child Development Center in LA, Compton Unified School District, which also has a preschool program, and Thunder Child Development Center in Oceanside, which is in San Diego County. And then there are 3 control sites which have been selected for the research part of it. These are some of the program components of the program, which I will be going deeper into: nutrition education, experiential learning, local food sourcing, parent trainings, teacher trainings, evaluation, some policy discussions as well, and then development of a national network and demonstration workshops to make sure that this program is serving as a model for other programs in the area. So talking about nutrition education, the curriculum that is being used is a modified Harvest of the Month curriculum, which is, Harvest of the Month is a curriculum that has been developed in California and used across the state, which basically highlights a seasonal fruit or vegetable for a month on which certain activities are provided to kids. And so this is a modified curriculum that has been developed for preschools and for childcare centers based on the model of the HOTM that is available for K-12. And then resource, it involves weekly lessons. So there are hands-on activities that are provided. Seasonal and local food system topics are discussed. So, you know, where does your food come from? What kind of foods are grown in our region? You know, what is the seasonality? Can you get, you know, strawberries in winter or not? You know, why are we eating blueberries right now? Those kinds of things. You know, what is the farm? What does the farm look like where these blueberries came from? You know, all those kind of topics, and, you know, how much further do we need to go into to find a farm? You know, can kids in LA think about having a farm that is, you know, within a 100-mile radius or not? Is that feasible or not? So those kind of discussions, I think, are in the model, but also getting farmers in the classroom, in the center, and talking to kids about, you know, what life is on a farm is really important too. Getting taste tests for foods. A lot of times, kids have not tasted broccoli. Kids have not tasted, you know, even fresh carrots, and so fresh oranges. And so, getting that in the system is really important. And optional garden-related activities. So, getting kids in the garden, in the site itself, getting kids, getting their hands dirty by growing foods themselves. And believe me, if any child is involved in growing the food, they will certainly eat it and be really proud of it. So that's something that is really important for us. Some of the barriers that we found for implementing nutrition education has been low buy-in from the teachers, because they, you know, sometimes perceive these activities as additional things that they need to do. And then that leads to, you know, lower levels of implementation of these kinds of things. Some of the ways that we've tried to address those is by having standard-based curriculum. So the Harvest of the Month curriculum, since it's standard-based, you know, taking that model and modifying it for pre-K. Has been good. Keeping the lessons short and having specific activities for specific learning goals and that are age appropriate, I think have worked well for us. And also getting inputs from teachers as we moved along in the program to make sure we can modify the activities that we are suggesting to meet their needs. We've talked about gardening. We also do optional field trips and offer them to sites. We do farmer in the classroom visits. There are taste tests that are done as well. Again, some of the barriers that are inherent in these kind of activities are things like costs for setting up these programs, especially garden activities, because they would cost a little bit more in addition to what the sites are already doing. The ways we've been able to address it, that we've kept these activities as optional, and so sites can choose whether they want to do it or not. We've also helped them write up, grants for startup funds that can provide these funds. And then also, you know, having taste tests included as part of the curriculum, I think when teachers and providers see that the kids are really excited about a particular product, then they make the special effort to take that child to that farm where the product came from, and so that works well, I think. Local food sourcing is something that is a big part of this particular program, and what we found is that we have facilitated relationships with farmers and farmers markets and food service and food distributors for these sites that we work with, for providing locally sourced products into the meal and the snack menus. Most of this has been fruits and vegetables in these sites. But what we found is that childcare doesn't necessarily follow one single way of sourcing food. So, for example, there could be food could be distributed through a central kitchen to different sites. It could be food could be purchased for a particular site, and then have a chef at the site, and the chef has a kitchen. Access to a kitchen to cook the food at that particular site, or food could be sourced from a food bank or from donations and then cooked at that site. Food could be purchased by the childcare provider, read in a ready form. Food could also be distributed by a contracted agency like a food service provider, and then that comes into the site. So there's this, a variety of different ways that food is coming into these centers, and so that is a big, that is a major barrier in terms of sort of trying to figure out how can you incorporate local foods into these systems, because as you know, a fruit or vegetable that is picked the evening before and is served the next day morning is, not necessarily super clean. It's still got dirt on it, and so it needs to be cleaned. It needs to be washed thoroughly. It needs to be chopped, And so those kind of barriers, I think, are additional things that we need to deal with when you're talking about a farm fresh product coming into these systems. The way we've looked at these barriers and tried to address it, that we've worked with the sites and tried to figure out what works best for them and tried to come up with some models that work for them. Starting small and then, and making sure that the budget, there was a cost issue that was a cost question that came up earlier for one of the presenters, making sure that the cost of the product that is in season is comparable to what they are getting, otherwise. And we've been able to do that because we work on overall development of local and regional food systems and distribution in the LA and San Diego area. So we've been able to connect them with models such as a group of farmers that has come together called a Growers Collaborative, or working with existing farmers markets that are interested in doing this kind of thing. So having an organization that has its fingers into the local and regional food systems work is, I think, important as well, because that brings you access to how can you get this farm fresh foods into these systems. Parent outreach and workshops is another thing that the program does. Each workshop is about an hour and a half long, and it includes nutrition topics such as where can you get healthier foods, where can you buy farm fresh foods, cooking demonstrations, getting the parents involved in healthy cooking as well, and then information on local farmers markets and access to local foods is also provided. Parent newsletters are provided. We also take parents to field trips if they're interested in, and are in the process of piloting a market basket program by which parents would be able to access a farm fresh box of fresh produce from a local farm at the site itself, where they can pick it up at the site. Some of the barriers we found in these kind of activities with parents is language and availability of the parents to do these kind of activities, and a perception that local foods are more expensive, are something that more higher end consumers are buying, and to dispel those myths, we've shown them that local foods in season could be comparable in price. And we've also been able to provide bilingual materials for parents to be participating in these programs. Teacher trainings is another thing that has been done pretty intensively, offered once at the beginning of the school year and then optionally offered during winter holidays. What the program has been able to do is that we provide detailed, organized program binders for teachers to follow. So these are these are some of the basic activities that you can do, and then these are some of the optional activities that you can do. So, and having those binders provided to teachers gives them a reference to, check back on and look at, how do you do these activities. Getting to the evaluation component of it, the evaluation program was conducted by an external consultant who was hired by the program, and pre-post surveys were done with students, parents, and teachers. Particularly for the students in this age group, what we did was we designed a sticker-based survey where we found that, even though the teacher was asking questions to the children or getting a show of hands was not an effective way of getting responses from this age, because there's a peer pressure kind of thing. If my friend is saying yes, I want to say yes too and raise my hand. So instead of that, we developed a sticker-based survey, which we thought was really useful. We had 531 intervention sample and 194 control sample. I'm going to skip through this and really get to the results quickly. If you have any questions about the evaluation, I'm happy to answer them again later. So the evaluation results basically showed that from pre-test to post-test, intervention school students showed a statistically significant increase in knowledge of fruits and vegetables, of local fruits and vegetables that are grown in the area. And then intervention schools also showed significantly less likeness to show preference. So the intervention schools showed more preference for healthier products like fruits and vegetables, and then that students enjoyed fruit and vegetable taste tests and asked their families to make healthier purchases as well. Wellness policies, I'm going to go quickly, I have about a minute left or so. I believe they are not required in childcare settings, but it's something that that these kind of programs and you know, working with centers could be developed, similar to the K-12 model. The program has also done demonstration workshops, and using the four sites that we are working on, using them as demonstration sites and you know, providing other folks to come to the demonstration sites so they can learn from these programs, providing ongoing technical assistance and community outreach to do this is something that that this particular Farm to Preschool program is providing. And then lastly, based on the Farm to School model, where we now have a national Farm to School network, we are in the process of engaging Farm to Preschool programs across the country to share models, to share resources, so that you don't reinvent the wheel, because there is, if you have a question, you bet there's somebody else in the country who's doing it. So trying to use the same model and incorporating it within the national Farm to School network to be that sort of one point place where people can go to resources for. We will have a website that will be linked to the National Farm to School Network as well, and hope that, you know, if you have programs, you'll get in touch and let us know what you're doing. Wanted to share, leave you with a couple of nice pictures. This is from a spinach taste test. The kids are really enjoying it. This is from another taste test where different kinds of beans are purchased from the farmer's market, and kids are enjoying it. This is some artwork from the kids, and this is a Harvest of the Month curriculum which has been modified for the pre-K. Thank you. I also have some resources. This is a two-pager resource for pre-K, farm to pre-K programs that has been done. It's copies available at the back if you want them. Thank you.
And that would be Alterum Institute.
It should be in, it'll be in December or January. and you, I can, you go to Alterum, www.alterum.org. You can get a better website because there's sessions set there, because I don't remember. We are actually developing all of our information as a subsite from the website. So that's www.alterum.org, and you're looking for childhood.
Thank you so much. Have a great conference.